What's good, yo? It's your boy, One to Dial, sitting here chilling with the Hip Hop Digest Show.
I am not a Drake apologist. I love Drake a lot. But really and truly, these three albums, all of them were just trash. I'm going to be honest. After the fourth song, I thought, fuck, this is so shit. Iceman, Habibti, and Maid of Honor. Now, I have listened to all three albums. All three albums are very much mediocre albums. From my understanding, he's been trying to get out of his deal with Universal Music, and he had three albums left until his contract ended, something along the lines of that. So he said, well, if I got three albums left, here's your motherfucking three albums, fuck off. But those three albums were very, very mediocre and underwhelming. The way I could describe these three albums, Iceman is for the boys, it's for the gangsters, it's just pure rap. And I was just so disinterested. I have Habibti. It was slow girl lover-esque. I don't even want to insult Drake 2009 to 2011 by saying that this is Drake 2009-esque, because it will be an insult to the bodies of work that came out from that era. This album is trash.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. It's your man, DJ Kane Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Curtie.
And of course, it's E Green. And we had an interview lined up, but somebody cut out on us. So
damn.
That's what I said. I said it. So we got one of our favorites of all time to just happen to be available. We got Big Rush again, yo. What up, man?
Yes, sir.
Peace, gents.
The biggest homie.
I see you when you wearing all that blue, cuz.
Oh,
you talking to Key Killer, right?
You're not talking to Killer.
I think in Nevada that might be neutral, but I might be wrong.
Certain parts of the city is neutral, certain parts of the city, but it still ain't like LA.
Yeah, you better put that Running Rebels hat on.
You might not want to do that. Might not want to do that there.
No doubt. So since we're in the digest, this is a different digest because I'm actually in Nevada sitting beside E Color.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, we got our present East Coast presence there. Of course, Rush up top, New York, New Jersey, wherever he happens to be. So we're in good spirits tonight.
Literally.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to definitely freestyle because I don't have any topics, but I'm going to get to the adjacent topic at hand. And, I hate to do it, but, you know, the Drake 3 album drop.
Damn, he called him by his regular name.
Yeah, I call him by his regular name. The Drake 3 album drop. And normally, this is the thing, we wouldn't be really concerned about this on this show. But some extraordinary events have taken place. And maybe it's not extraordinary. Yeah. Because one of our brothers, and he is our brother, and he is so well respected, speech from Arrested Development is hogwashing the whole set.
Time out, brother. Time out. This might seem facetious, might seem overplayed. Rush, you've been on here 600 times, but you still gonna tell us. You still gonna tell us today's top three MCs for you.
B, hold up.
We're going to do that, B.
But this is kind of important. We got to put Rush on hold just for a second.
No rush.
You're going to put me because speech is actually literally washing hogs.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wait, where is it going?
You didn't even say pause.
Nah, B. He's washing hogs. Soapy.
Damn. Hey, Rush, you up for this?
Ooh, ouch.
I might need another drink.
Okay, then let's put it like this. The statement was, wait, correct me if I'm wrong. The statement was made that Drake is the greatest artist of all time.
Speech said something to that effect.
I'm paraphrasing. It may not have been verbatim. But this is the level that we're dealing with here. Now, I understand Drake fans, benefactors, people on the payroll, you know, people like Ack and Roy and them. I get that. You know, that's standard fare. That's the what you call that arm where you get the advertising people together.
Okay, we'll just call it the advertisers.
Yeah, you get the advertisers together, putting them commercials and shit. Come on, be the greatest of all time?
He up there, put him up there with Jesus, didn't he?
Oh, well, I wasn't even going to talk about that blaspheming, but...
Oh, my God.
Kurt G, please help me. Why would you think that somebody of speech's caliber would say it?
Well, I was prepared to come on here because I heard Speech with the first statements he was making. And I'm prepared to come on here and give him a small pass. Not a large pass, but a small pass. I'm prepared to give him a small pass because I was actually listening to the words that came out of his mouth on the first statements that he made. Not the Jesus stuff. That's when he jumped off the third rail. I'm talking about the first statements. So the first statement, I was about to be like, you know what, B? He's right in what he was saying. Because he said he's the greatest rapper of all time. I'll give him that. He can have that title. He didn't say MC. He never used the words MC when he was talking about the nigga. So I gave him a pass. I said, sure, you're right. He is the greatest rapper of all time. He sold the most. He's the most popular nigga. Yes, he is the greatest. May not like it, but he is. So that's where I was at with it until he started talking about Jesus. When I said this nigga done tripped out completely. I don't know why he's trying to make a pass to get a job. I don't think that nigga's hiring anybody outside of Canada right now. He don't trust nobody.
Rush, I got a question.
It better be serious as cancer.
Oh! Who can take the average chance on Facebook? Nobody's smiling.
Okay, and we know where your heart is.
Drop the mic. You shouldn't be holding it.
This is how it should be done.
All right, we're in concert tonight. But Rush, I want to answer a question. I'm going to answer from an industry standpoint. When a circus like Arbery comes to town, are people generally in the industry just falling all over themselves, on their knees, worshiping and praising? Is that the general spiel? From an industry viewpoint.
I'll put it to you like this. If you have the president of the United States can make all of the wild moves that he makes and everybody's supporting it, then yeah, I could see a world where people are supporting Drake or they're just clapping for him, riding for him, whatever you want to call it. I think they'll do that because they think that he's going to be able to hold some kind of sway. But I don't think that that's why he dropped 3 records in a row, though.
Is that simply a get out of, I've submitted all the albums, get out of contract move?
Of course. That's exactly what that, I mean, because look at his, he has a real contentious history with his label. So to get out of it, sure, let's just drop all 3. I fulfill my obligations, let me out of the contract. And now what you did is you just basically let the monster out the bottle. So now he can go out. I mean, I don't think he's going to go shop for another label. He's his own label. And actually, you know what? This is my take on it that I was going to bring up tonight. Should you have mentioned Drake, which you did. So I think what he's going to do will actually benefit the industry. If he
how so, sir?
If he does what I hope he does, which basically starts the machine up so he can start pumping music direct to consumer. Now you basically just changed the dynamic and you've basically shot another leg of the record industry. So now you have one of the world's biggest volume movers as far as product out there selling directly to the consumer right next to the labels.
Wait, may I
please? Please.
So what it sounds like to me is you're saying that he's in the Taylor Swift status. And here's why I think I hear that. Because she has done all of that stuff that he's trying to do, right? But for Taylor Swift, she has actual people who purchase her music, like, to make her who she is. And I feel safe saying that Drake's streams, the billions of them, have come from more so people being curious and digging in and listening to see if there's anything worth listening to versus, which I don't think will be sustainable for him, versus Taylor Swift, who has a freaking fan zone that doesn't care. When she puts music out, they're buying it, and she's getting all the money. I just can't see Drake on that level. If he's... Get speech here to tell me if I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm wrong and tell me why.
I'm not, trust me, I'm not. I know Killer, y'all can't see him right now, but he's been...
You're right. That nigga was like, they're throwing up signs. I was like, get the...
So... And before he get an opportunity to start calling me the lawyer, I'm gonna I want to say that I am not a Drake lawyer. I'm not here to defend that man or nothing. What I am saying, as far as the industry is concerned, I think that the same blueprint that Taylor Swift is eating with, I think that's where he's going to try and go. I can't tell you if it's going to be successful.
I've never streamed anything Taylor Swift, ever. But she is extremely rich. Drake is extremely rich, but I have streamed some Drake music because I'm on the Hip Hop Digest show. So I can't just randomly talk about Drake if I haven't listened at least. You feel me?
I'm not saying you're not going to be able to stream his music.
No. You will be able to, and it'll go to him. But people who are Drake fans will be... purchasing and checking in to his work.
So shout to Rush. I mean, maybe you just work up at the law firm. Oh. Maybe not his personal lawyer, but maybe you just work up there. Second of all, that was academic talking points about changing the industry. There's a couple of things that are still going on. Still has an active lawsuit against UMG.
That's still active?
It's still active. He appealed. Mm. He still has an active lawsuit going on and still saying that it was the levers of UMG that was the only reason that Kendrick blew and that his career, at least the last 3 years, have taken a bit of a backseat. Not much, but a bit. I'm not going to rehash all the Taylor Swift things, but that's the key thing. Does Aubrey's fan base translate the way Taylor... See, because Taylor moves vinyl like it's 87. Okay, Taylor fans ain't tripping over any Spotify or Apple. I mean, they're doing it because it's convenient. But if Taylor was like, fuck all y'all, I'm good no matter what. So Drake, first of all, it's a personal opinion, translate to that. But I think the ongoing lawsuit is problematic.
I think so.
Oh, go ahead, Kirk.
My bad. I thought you were finished. But I was about to say, and I was going to pile on what you were saying. And this nigga, if you want to get into it, is using a lot of bots. So a lot of those fans and streams he be getting ain't like the Taylor Swift action. So they're not really true fans. So he doesn't have all of that. And I think the nigga's trying to get leverage by having a lawsuit because he knows once he put these three albums out and got it over with, that now he's going to put a renegotiation because he don't want to go no damn where because he knows he ain't going to make that kind of bread out there by himself. This is for a renegotiation tactic. I'll drop the lawsuit. You give me XYZ, well, let's call it even right now.
Man, Kurt with that background.
Hey, man, Kurt's on point. And I think, I'm going to speak from the heart. I think what speech says is offensive. I think the you know, just because he put out a volume of music, I think it's, what is it, a total like 43 to 45 total tracks. I mean, the sheer volume, you know, is offensive. It's offensive. Stevie Wonder on a double album, you know, that's one thing. But this nigga, I'm sorry, B, it's a personal opinion, but it's offensive. I understand he's good to the people who think he's good, but he ain't that good. And there has to be a standard here.
Let me add this. Please go ahead, Russ, please.
And I think you already made the case. I don't think that Drake is not going to be able to tailor version his music, right? So if he has, let's say, his entire catalog, his biggest hits, he can't go back and re-record those and re-release them because he doesn't have the fan base to support that. And I also think that he clearly doesn't have control over his music. I'll stand on that, the idea of him using direct to consumer. He's probably not gonna make the numbers that Taylor's making, but he'll definitely make those numbers though.
Well, I want to go back to the word that King Killer used, which was offensive. I was offended. First of all, I'm a fan of speech, and we know that because when we interviewed him, he showed us who he was. It was very respectable. That interview was very respectable with him. But this whole, you know, this is not the first time that speech has jumped out there on this Drake Kendrick thing. He jumped out there when the 2 years ago when the battle was happening and was on that side of the fence, right? But what's offensive to me is when he gets on and says things like young people used to say about this word hate and this, that, and the other. I don't hate Drake at all. I wish him well. I don't like his music. And nobody should have to tell me that I can't say that. And I'm not the only one, right? But just like somebody can say they love his music or think he's the greatest and as good as Jesus, this and that and the other, it's okay for people to say the opposite. And you don't have to get online and do a whole speech, for lack of a better word, about Drake being so great and how you can't see his greatness and you're hating and all that. That to me is giving me PTSD from when we've been talking all these years on the Hip Hop Digest show. We don't hate none of these cats out here that's making money. We don't hate none of these cats that's making garbage. It's just we are gonna call it like we see it from being, whether we're famous or not, how we see it, how our hip-hop ears have heard this, and I cannot call Drake hip-hop. I asked Killer, has he ever heard a record from Drake that he would consider hip-hop? And I would, you know, I wouldn't ask Speech that because clearly he's a Drake fan. So whatever Drake does, he's going to like that. But you have to be able to look at this mirror and be like, yo, I get down with this dude. It don't matter what nobody else thinks. And I'm not going to preach. Have you ever heard me tell anybody not to like Drake?
No, I don't think it's about that. And I think one of the things that were offensive, and I'm going to continue that theme, is Speech did actually address the battle. And really, the battle was what it was. It was a time-honored, even amongst commercial rappers, but they entered into a time-honored tradition, you know, almost since the beginning of squaring up, and it was about bars. Okay, Speech jumped out on that Eric Michael Dyson like this was a cultural, he's not black or he's not hip-hop type of setup, like Kendrick, you know, set him up for, he ain't one of us. Well, damn, you could say a thousand things. Kendrick could have been like saying he ain't one of us because he's not a good MC. You know what I mean? I guess you could have took it that way, you know, or you could have took it that way. He ain't one of us. He can't come to L.A. doing this shit. Yeah, there's a thousand ways you could have took that, you know. But it was, again, offensive to me because Speech was like that battle. And then, too, really was sort of disdain for it. You know, we got that we got to evolve beyond this shit and learn to embrace a guy like him. Okay, bro. I'm offended.
I don't think that anybody... Well, first... Okay. How are we having this conversation with somebody who ain't relevant, dog? It's speech.
I respected speech, and maybe that's why he's on the digest front and center. And
I respected him. I respected him in the 90s when he was. I remember. Yeah, I respected him then. I mean, but are we really gonna like have these conversations with? Nah, I'm sorry. I mean, and I hate to even take that line, that angle on it, but I'm like, bro, you can't be that loud and be that invisible.
Well,
he has, again, this is 2 years in the making. And again, we all respect speech and Arrested Development and all of that stuff, but
everything about his career that he's done, I like speech's music.
I just don't know why he's taking this stance so in such a public way, though. That's the part where I wish I could ask him why in such a public way. Because we've laughed about all kinds of things about, yo, you might need a job, but do you really think Drake is going to bring you on tour?
Now, you know what I think? I think it's this thing of the. We're in the Rage Bay era. So I could say something that I know is going to get me flamed, but it's going to boost my engagement.
Wow.
So it's like now I'm like questioning whether or not he's even saying something in truth, or is he using this moment to kind of prop himself up? Which is even more sad. It's more pathetic. It's, you know, so
I don't want to think that.
You know what? I appreciate Rush saying that, because you know what that does? That makes me look inward to the limitations of my evaluation of this situation. That more than once, you know what I'm saying? When it's Irv and them would be like, B, you falling for that clickbait. Motherfuckers got me out there butt ass naked, and I couldn't evaluate that they was doing that, and he just you know,
yep. But because after speaking with him, having him on here and being ass honestly, I was like, what was up with that Mr. Wendell shit? You know, all that we had the conversation about, and he was very forthcoming. I just don't, and I'm not a soothsayer. I can't read his mind, any of that. I wish I could ask him literally. But I just can't imagine him, the person, looking for these clickbaits that I always talk about. I can't fathom it. I think somewhere in his heart, yo, I could be wrong, but I just see him. I can't put it into words, honestly, but I just can't see him being a clickbait, or I got to say something to get my clicks up, my views up. I can't. Imagine that from him.
Now you got me wanting to like look through the archives of like where else has he said this? Because if he's only said it once, then it's kind of hard for me to say that he stands on that.
Well, I think these comments go back to his disdain for the battle, at least from my research. They go back a little ways, a couple of years anyway. You know.
I really think this is more psychological and more personal and how he feels, because of some things that he might have went through when he was in the industry. Niggas making fun of him and his, how they dressed and the things they were talking about. They was on some positive shit. Niggas on gangster shit. So maybe he felt a little bit of himself in Drake, how niggas is coming at him so hard. He's feeling like, damn. I know how he feels. Everybody coming at you and they don't respect you. Yeah, I'm down with Drake.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, well, that's what's up, you know. So we spent a lot of time on that, so.
I mean, it's huge. Besides speeches, comments, because I haven't really, besides the typical internet folks that are going to ride and die for Drake, I have not seen, I have not seen many other celebrities or upper echelon artists. And again, I'm sorry, Rush, I know what you said. And I'm not saying speech is upper echelon. I'm just saying I haven't seen that coverage, that kind of coverage for Drake.
I'll use his same metric to judge him by. He said that he thinks Drake is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Based on longevity, consistency, relevance, lyricism, and cultural impact.
Yeah.
I'll take all of those and I'll stack them right next to speech. And hey, bro, he said that. I didn't.
He never heard of LL Cool J, I guess.
Thank you. So I'm not trying to diss the brother. I think, like I said, I always thought he was a great artist. But if you're gonna go by, if that's the metric that you're gonna say Drake is the GOAT, then we're not having the same conversation.
Yeah.
I think for myself, in closing, I had a conversation with my youngest daughter. She's in her late 20s. They're past 25.
Yeah,
they're 27. In her world, which is not an Aubrey world, but, you know, she's actually a Korean boy band. But according to her world, she's saying there's really not a lot of fervor for Mr. Graham. And a lot of people really wish he would fade to the background. Now, that's just from her crowd of people, her corner of the internet where she and her people stand. But she said, if you really thinking that he's a world beater like that, you'd be wrong, because she'll slap BTS numbers on you and have your head spinning. So that's what I take in closing. So
I don't have anything else to say about it except this. Maybe he will be successful. He will be successful if he's able to get off of that label and do his own thing. He will still get money. He will still be rich.
Well, he definitely wants to be successful.
Well, success is
y'all didn't get the joke, but it's all good.
Yeah. Must be the name of one of his songs or something. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. Right over my head.
Thanks, Kurt.
You welcome. Kurt,
listen to that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And so I ain't going to run from it. I'm not running from it.
Well, and I said, even when I'm listening to be able to speak on it with a little bit of education, I'm not paying attention to the title of the songs unless it would catch me, but songs don't catch me. So to wrap up what I'm saying so we can move along, I will never try to talk another person down. I wish him all the success he can get, but it's just crazy to me how this one particular artist, I've never seen in my hip hop life somebody so protected or raised up. I've never seen this in hip hop ever, or rap. I've never seen it, especially for someone who's not a hip hop artist. So that's all I got.
He is, to quote speech, he is their Jesus. So they love this nigga. So they're going to keep protecting this nigga and keep doing whatever you got to do to keep him propped up, because he is the soundtrack to their entire life. So for this nigga to go down as a fraud, you're telling them that their life is a fraud? That they've backed the wrong horse their entire life? That stings a little bit.
Man, listen. I was... I'm gonna date myself. Remember, there was a movie that came out, and it was this kid who was an actor, and his little tagline was "keeping it real." You know what I'm saying? That's Drake to me. He's like this.
That's CB4.
No, it wasn't CB4. It was what was that kid? I don't remember his name, but it was like he was in a sitcom. And he was just like, just keep it real or whatever he said. But he wanted to be like, you know, they're making him out to be like this Hollywood kid. and he's just a kid from the ghetto, and but he's that Drake is that in reverse. Drake is like, he wants to, I'm just keeping it real, but at, dude, but no, man, you're like eating eggs Florentine in the morning, bro. Like, you ain't, that's not gangster, bro.
Damn, it ain't gangster buying old rappers or dead rappers jewelry or gloves. That ain't gangster.
Oh, yeah, I think that was fake. I don't even think that was real.
The glove or Tupac's chain?
Tupac's chain.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm.
I have that actually on good information.
Hey, say no more.
Yeah, say no more. Word is born. All right, man, let's move along. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest.
You still going to go against?
I am. Because Rush is going to get it in.
Okay.
We're going to let Rush get it in. But this is an important situation here because it's very rare that we have this happen on the Digest, at least in real time. So last week's show, or the last time we recorded, your boy E Color was really, you know, giving Killer Mike a lot of accolades. And one particular accolade was on the Black Bank and how real the Black Bank was versus Rush Card or Rush Card gift cards, that type of thing, where they put $5 in your bank account if you open up Rush. That Killer Mike is doing a real Black Bank. Well, I'm here to tell you that it was a Black Bank in blackface.
I got bamboozled. Killer Mike didn't... I didn't fall on Killer Mike. Killer Mike fell on me.
Make a long story really short, the Black Bank was white-owned and had a lot of Black representation, you know, to sort of convince the well-heeled customers of Metro Atlanta to come in with a lot of their dollars and take a lot of Black pride with them. And I guess after the capital number was met, a lot of the Black representation at the bank was let go. Killer Mike was apparently aware that the bank really wasn't owned by African Americans. Did not step up to warn or say, or even say he was hoodwinked. And so Swerve is here to make a retraction.
Oh yeah, I am. Absolutely. Hey, I am never bigger than the truth. Never. So Killer did the research. See, I got caught out there looking at the surface, right? And I ain't in Atlanta, and I ain't sending my money down there. So I wasn't thinking. I'm like, okay, he got that. He got these houses and buildings he's buying. And got caught out there because Killer did the research. And I'm here to say, hey, you got it, B.
I gotta call a audible on this one. I apologize.
Yes, sir.
There are two banks. The one Killer Mike is talking about is Citizens Trust Bank, wholly Black owned, historically Black owned bank.
Oh, okay.
Citizens Bank is a bank that's owned by somebody in somewhere up north, Rhode Island, somewhere. Citizens Bank, the one that's out here in New York, is a white bank. Citizens Trust Bank, different bank.
Excuse me.
That's Google. We could. I mean, I just want
to. Oh, okay. And I'll be on here apologizing if I'm doing the research on the wrong institution, and I'll be apologizing, no doubt. Further investigation to be conducted with Hip Hop Digest. Where we're just keeping them on a cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody on here is bigger than the truth.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. We like to get to the truth.
You know, that's the pillar of hip hop, bruh.
Yes, sir.
We gotta do the knowledge, no doubt. Oh,
yo, no doubt.
Well, I appreciate that, Rush. I do appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? But
saving for the retraction.
Well, I mean, you know, but because see, here's the thing. I would have accepted the fact that I was wrong, but I didn't know that there was two different bank situations.
Yeah, neither did I.
I just knew that he was down there doing the bank for the black folks and the whole nine. That's what I heard. But Killer came to me with this other information. I was like, oh, I was wrong. But thank you, Rush.
Coming with additional information.
He said he went to the video replay.
Yeah, I called that one from Secaucus, man.
Hey, where you at? CNBC?
I'm at the NBA replay room. Oh, man. Yeah, if you go if you look at the one in Atlanta, it's a completely different logo than the one that's in Citizens Bank. Citizens Trust Bank is three words, and it has the three CTB is their logo.
Okay, hey, look, and I'm look. This is the internet. I could be totally, you know, picking up the wrong information from somebody who don't like Mike and it's putting that information out. So I gotta double check up on it. Triple check.
Yeah, because he came in here with them arrows the other day. Yeah. I was like, okay. Don't shoot me. I'm black. Wow. So I'ma still have my I'm still ride for Mike until I find out otherwise. But, all right. Because you know, we all can get hoodwinked, yo.
Yo, of course. No doubt. Yeah, so. No doubt. There's no doubt.
So now I'm going to throw a topic in there and push Rush off a little bit more. I wanted to talk to somebody who cut out on us on the show about this. But we have witnessed in hip hop, like, maybe the death of groups, the death of duos. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, damn, we got all these rappers, I'm gonna just say for lack of a better word, who are dolo. Ain't no Wu-Tangs, ain't no EPMD, ain't no Gangstar, ain't no this, that, and the other. It's like, do you think that's strictly money? Do you think it's personality? Do you think it's all? But why are all of our legacy groups at odds, and why can't we have groups anymore?
I think you hit it on the head with the money part. Because niggas gotta split that shit four ways as opposed to just you can get fucked by four different people, plus the label, or you can just take all the bread yourself and get fucked by the label only.
Okay, I accept that for the new and going forward. But what about the groups that were established that were superstars in hip hop? Even what was that? Engine number nine. What was that group? I'm tripping.
Black Sheep.
We can go on and on and on all these lists of groups that either don't perform together anymore or perform together for the bread and don't fuck with each other outside of that. It's just an interesting concept to me when I started really thinking about it and going through the list of groups that we loved. No, you good.
I think it's probably because people grow apart. Over years, you're looking at these legacy groups is 20 plus years. And you had to deal with stuff when you were younger. Some of them in their late teenager to 20, less than 25, most of them, when they started their groups and did what they did. And how you felt back then and how you feel when you get older, people grow apart. And if you had any little issues back then that used to get on your nerves, the older you get, yo, the fuse gets shorter. You get let the bullshit meter just be like, nah, I can't fuck this nigga. I used to put up that shit when I was 19. I ain't putting up with that bullshit now, nigga. Fuck out of here. So I think it's a lot of attitude and pride, and niggas just don't, like I said, they grow apart.
What say you, Rush?
I don't know. I think I feel like it's like it was a trend. Like it was hot. Like think about when we first started, you know, if we're going to go back and document the true school, it was always the Treacherous Three, Funky Four Plus One, your Grandmaster Flash Furious Five. It was like Houdini. There was always multiple EPMD, Run DMC, you know, and then I'm trying to think like maybe I could say maybe LL Cool J came out and like blew everything apart. He just was just one man standing on a mic, you know, and then Kane came out, you know, then you start, after that, you start seeing a lot more single acts. Like, I can't think of any, too many more after that. Like, I mean, obviously we got like, you know, NWA, Public Enemy. Yeah. Okay. Well, damn. I just lied on myself. Yeah, there's a whole lot after that. But
there's a lot after that. They got Black Moon, Boogie Monsters.
Yeah. There's a whole lot. But I just think, I don't know. I just feel like that single, and you know what? You might be right, Kurt. It might just be because it's a financial situation for them. I mean, there could be a financial consideration about it. You know, the idea of I'd rather split my money up. I'd rather split my money with me and the tax man than split it with five other dudes and the tax man and the manager.
And the lady.
Right.
So yeah. Our group's dead?
I think it's just like you said. I think part of what Rush said, it's just not a popular thing anymore. To be part of a group.
I think, well, you know what, Kurt? You're right, and I think they probably think Coast Contra.
Well, that's a different animal right there, too.
They're four guys, and they all, you know. So I think that, you know, it might be kind of niche for them.
One of them has Superman's parents, too.
Yeah, you got Razcad behind that, too.
And T.J. Moses.
Right.
I think what is detrimental, and because hip hop doesn't have, I mean, the few that you name, maybe like a Public Enemy, but you don't have the legacy groups like rock, you know, whether if it's Queen, even without Freddie Mercury, was still putting in singers and going on tour, and the Aerosmiths and the Rolling Stones. You don't have those legacies. Those legacy groups are what we named. They are the Salt and Peppers. You know what I'm saying? They were the Eric B. and Rakims, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? NWA, I don't care who you're talking about. We don't have that legacy groups the way rock has. And it's a detriment to the history, because even when you got groups, even you're going to show up, I don't care what Salt and Pepper doing, but without Spinderella, True School cats would be like, you know, I don't know. That's just my two cents on it. I think it's a detriment to the history, you know, because we just don't have those legacy groups touring like they should be. You know,
well, even when they go out on tour, nobody goes and sees them. They gotta go out like 20 people on one tour.
They do, yeah.
They still have tiny crowds.
Yeah.
And that's spreading the money even thinner.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, but look at it. I mean, look where we at, man. I mean, the same amount of years separate Generation Y that separated us from Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Mm.
Like the Dramatics and all them cats, they go out. It's,
yes, they do.
10, 20 of them out there doing their review shows. So we kind of like, you know, we're in that era, man. I mean, it's like, you know, our audience is, you know, they gotta get that money. They gotta squeeze a whole lot more out of a lot less people.
Mm. You know, wow, I tell you what, I the last time I was out here, it was a lot of people out there at that Commodores concert. Lionel Richie was nowhere to be seen, my G.
Yeah, it was packed.
He's a brick house.
Yep.
So, you know.
I was with it.
Yeah, no doubt.
But so would the crowd be with it if there was a Eric B. Rakim, not just Rakim, Eric B. Rakim, if there was a Boogie Monsters on the side over there. You got, you know, just, I truly believe that there would be an audience for that type of concert.
I have to disagree with you on one thing. The fact that the only reason I don't think there's an audience for that is because, unlike R&B, rock, and whatever else music you want to name, hip hop has always been called a young man's sport. And so when niggas get to a certain age, they get the fuck out the game. And when they get out the game, they don't even come back. It's not like you say the group from my era when I used to love hip hop. They said the Salt and Peppers and whoever else you want to name. If they come out in a concert, I'm going to go see them. Most people are like, nah, I'm going to go see Jill Scott. I'm going to go see Mary J. I'm going to go see whoever else. But I'm not spending my money to go see these old groups because I don't even listen to rap no more.
Well, I'm going to throw a flag, Curtis. I'm going to throw a flag because there was this concert that I went to in Long Beach that had, I mean, I can't name all the people, but Candyman, 2 Live Crew. I mean, it was mad heads from that era. And that stadium, it was a big-ass stadium, packed with everybody dancing and singing and being a part of the show as we do. So that is kind of, it was only one show that I can tell you that I went to and saw all of that, but if it happened there in Long Beach, I'm sure it would happen in Chicago or St. Louis or wherever else.
Here's the key. You just said it. Look at who was going out on the tour and look who was going to see him. When you're talking about Candyman, Cypress Hill, it ain't us that's going to see them.
Mm.
Wow.
So it ain't us that's supporting our artists.
Wow.
When you could put a Wu-Tang on the stage, you put 15 cats on the stage and they're going to sell out.
They did here in the Virgin Hotel.
And yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was there?
A whole lot of us and a whole lot of others.
Well, let me tell you something. That kind of proves the theory I was thinking about. Even the legacy groups who do touring or who are at least at the very edge, let's say they're getting bread, there's a lot of European, way more European dates than American dates.
Public Enemy tour, ain't nobody regular like us going to see that, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
So... That's on the people then.
I think that the average rap fan ain't us. They ain't like us. They not the back then the average rap fan was with it because it was trendy. And then now that it's not trendy in that sense anymore.
Wow, that's what's up.
Crazy, crazy.
No doubt. All right, next topic on Hip Hop Digest, a little bit more technical. It might be more Rush, Kurt G, and whatnot. In Music strikes again. In Music buys Trackdoor, Native Instruments, the whole thing. I don't know if the European regulator is going to let it go through, but who knows. But in any case, In Music makes the buy. All right. Is this good? Is this good or bad? Did Native Instruments need In Music's capital to have them continue, or were they going to wither away anyway?
I think that they're just In Music is just the universal of a gear, I guess you could say, of these companies that make musical instruments and sell these apps and the shit that's popular. I think they are that. So they're just going to get in, just like all these companies buying publishing from all these damn artists. They're just buying up shit and putting it in one umbrella. And to me, it's only bad if they go in and take over and try to change shit from if it's working.
That usually doesn't end well, though, for the person bought.
Mm. You think, Rush, I don't think you're the user of their products, but what you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't use Traktor, but I mean, I do have several Native Instruments.
Well, I guess you got some plugins.
Yeah.
I got plenty of Native Instruments plugins.
Of course. Yeah. I think I got a Native Instruments controller, you know, yeah. But I think... this is a thing. They're acquiring other companies is just a way to shore up their stockholders. I don't necessarily believe that, you know, if you were running the company, you know, you would be out there, yeah, this is bullshit. Y'all know I got the fire product and they're not having it. They're not, those aren't the conversations they're having.
Right.
They're having a conversation, well, look, you know, this year was a strong year for us, you know. The outlook for our company looks stronger than ever. You've been on them, you know, you probably, E. Greed, you probably been on those earning calls, and, you know, I've been on enough of them to know this is, you know, the company could be on fire. The plane is like 50 feet off the ground, and they're literally like, yeah, it's never been stronger. So I think that this is just... This is just a way for them to
people disappear.
Right.
Jobs, stuff like that. So that's why I said it doesn't usually bode well for the company that was purchased. They get their bag or what have you, but
Yeah. They get their bag and then eventually they're gonna sell it off for parts.
Yep.
Man, this is just a way for Native Instruments to buy a little time.
Mm.
Because it's not going, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, with some of the stuff that I've been sitting in meetings with lately, like, yeah, the plug-in, I mean, not the plug-in game, but the instrument plug-in game is about to change in a way that, you know, bro, like, yeah, Native Instruments is gonna, they got caught flat footed like Blockbuster right now.
Be kind, rewind.
Mm.
I love my Native Instruments plugins. I mean, everybody's using, you know, everybody's using them. But look at, if you're talking about, yeah, you know, the drum plugins, nobody's really using that, like, seriously, no more. It's too many.
Right.
Different
right.
flavors. And now, if you know, if most of the young kids, you know, they're probably running Ableton. Why would I need a drum synth in Ableton? Ableton is a drum synth, right? You know, and I don't know. I just think that they're just, this is just a way for them to buy a little time.
Okay. Oh, that's what's up. And look, now, if I'm mistaken, I thought I caught a glimpse. I'm just speaking of just another company who I don't know if they're going to be in that same position, but I thought I caught a glimpse of some propeller head up in there. You know.
Oh, yeah. What are they? Reason Studios.
Yeah. Reason. Well, not propeller head anymore. Reason Studio. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know a lot. I mean, I don't know. I don't see a lot of cats bumping them. I mean, I'm not saying they ain't not good. Just saying maybe there's just maybe cost prohibitive at this point. I don't know.
Well, they just dropped a new version. They got Reason 14 out. Version 14 just dropped. And
damn,
I just,
they up to 14?
Yeah, they up to 14 now. And
yeah, I've been out the game a long time.
And you know, you follow, you know, you're a gearhead, just like, you know, you're a hip-hop head. You follow the news, you follow the tech, you know. I don't know. I just think that, you know, there's too many other really good products out there that Reason is probably still very niche, and they leaning further into that niche, and people keep trying to bring it out of them, you know. But I'll tell you, like, Battle Cat, heavy Reason head.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and that dude, I'm scared of him on Reason. All the tracks that he makes them in Reason.
Mm.
So it's not the software, it's the user.
Well, that was just, I was getting ready to say that. I don't know.
I make a lot of shit in Reason myself.
Right. You know, I think, as a matter of fact, this new EP I'm working on, a lot of that stuff was done in Reason.
Yeah.
When I started mixing it, I'm pushing it out and doing it in another job. But man.
Yeah. Well, it probably gets down to why they were bought in the first place, because it's a lot of players out there as far as software offerings, workstation, you know, whatever your choice of weapon is, but obviously it is the user and who can execute in that particular ecosystem. And probably in music is saying, look, if we could just eliminate a lot of dead wood here.
Right.
You know, we can really start competing on another level. I mean, I don't know in music on the DJ level, Pioneer is, you know, such a stranglehold, you know. But who knows? I guess we'll see. You know what I'm saying? So that you know, is the gear portion of the show.
I got one last take on that.
Oh, what's that?
You got Native Instruments being acquired by End Music, right?
Right.
Think about who they own, too. What are they?
Everybody.
They got Kai.
Denon.
Denon, Newmark, Rain.
Newmark. Yep. Roland.
M Audio. Yeah, M Audio is Roland, right?
Yep. M Audio. Yep.
Moog.
Oh, they bought Moog?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Jesus.
It's this consolidation. It's the consolidation of it's exactly what's happening to the record industry, to the movie industry, TV. Everything is consolidating down to one entity. We're just pushing ourselves right to that singularity, right? Till it's only
world order.
One. And pretty soon, all of those companies are going to be owned by Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
Amazon gonna come in with the $200 billion offer.
Amazon, yeah, all of wow. Studio One got bought by Fender.
Oh, I hated that acquisition.
Yeah, it's hard to get used to. I hate looking at that.
Oh, Russ, you hit me right in the heart, yo. I hated that Fender bought Studio One.
Yeah, I hate looking at it, right? Every time I open it up, I'm just, ugh.
Oh, wow. That's what's up.
The consumer suffers in the end, yo.
We always do, brother. We always do.
No doubt. All right, B, I'm going to let you now.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show.
where we like to ask our guest questions.
And one of those questions, no matter how many times your ass been on the show, because
I'm not a lawyer,
your thought process could have changed since the last time you were here. So we want to ask, who are your top three that you're listening to right now?
Bro,
you had to know it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, but that, because they haven't changed, I'm still studying the same cat.
Okay, then that's cool.
Lupe, Black Thought, who else would I stick in there? Just to throw things off. This little young cat, I can't remember his name, so we'll just keep going. But
Nick Grant. Oh,
what'd you say?
Somebody said Nick Grant. I don't know who said that.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one though.
Right.
I was just trying to segue onto something else because that first topic was a lot because I like speech. But Nick Grant released as well on that same day. And I had been anticipating that album for a long time because I was nervous. I was like, damn, he is a young boy. You know what I'm saying? And he has had a couple of joints where he did what we always ask. Do that stuff, but give us something. He's done that. But on this album, yo, it's mature hip hop. That's all I can call it right now. Mature hip hop. So his people his age might not like it. I don't know, but it's a great album.
I think we're getting back to the lyricism, man. I like it. I've been liking a lot of stuff that's coming out. I just think that we got to get back to the whole essence of what hip hop is, because we kind of went way into the whole marketing side. We went way over into the makeup counter.
Oh man, hairband, metal hair.
Right. We over here. We should be in the store. We should be in the. We should be in Home Depot. We over here in Estee Lauder right now.
That sound like toxic masculinity. I'm just saying.
Hey, bruh. Right now, we over here. Everything is on how you. Everything is about how you look.
Yeah, yeah. That's a shame because there are some pretty people who are not talented, and there are some people who are not considered pretty who are extremely talented. So, but that's always been a thing, though.
Not necessarily even talking about their physical aesthetics. I'm talking about the fact that they have to be branded with some luxury brand or they have like what's this big, you know, this big, they just had a big riot because
New watch.
Yeah.
A watch,
bruh. Like everything is about the brand. It's the brand, the brand, the brand, the brand. Mm-hmm. Nobody is really thinking about the lyricism and the fact of just being an artist because I'm an artist. It's like the if you had a damn painter and all he did was paint Nabisco logos, you know what I mean? Mm. It's all he doing. Like all you doing is just rubber stamping logos. You're not really out here pushing the culture at all.
That's that word culture. I think it's been put to bed, tucked away, put under the pillow, actually, because cash has taken over culture, brother. Even if it's a little bit of cash that you might think is big cash, it's nothing compared to culture. But we don't see that anymore. So yeah, it's going to continue to be ugly then, I guess.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you know, I think, you know, obviously shows like this is keep the culture at the forefront, and I think that people probably need to stop looking at the shiny shit over there for a minute, and we like you guys, and you guys focus on the talking about the real. You know, we bringing out you talk about artists that are really impacting the culture. We need more of that. We need more of that.
We definitely need more of that, but the culture was co-opted by commercial. So we no longer have really a hip-hop culture. Because niggas always keep talking about the culture, but they ain't really talking about hip-hop. They ain't got shit to do with the culture they're talking about. They're talking about the culture of the bag, the culture of social media, the culture of your what you look like. It's never the culture of hip-hop, like you said, the lyricism and what hip-hop used to be about. So hip-hop culture, it really isn't hip-hop culture. It's something else, totally different.
Right. And I just caught what you just said, E. Green. I'm not trying to... that was my tool bag, Estee Lauder thing, was not a dig on the latest crop of female rappers. I'm not doing that.
I wasn't trying to do that either, brother. it didn't have a gender, what I was saying.
Now, this killer, time. Killer, I'm choosing to represent myself.
No doubt. I generally think that for us, I think the frustrating point isn't even so much at the next Lil Young or YN who drops. I mean, because that's going to happen, but you really do have some guys who, I'm not going to call them gatekeepers, but they're lockstep in as far as Bag Central. And I'm talking about some of the more popular podcasters out there. I mean, these guys aren't young. These aren't young guys or gals, but their podcast is centered around what's going on with their people that are their grandchildren's age, more than likely. So, I mean, that's just my two cents of it. And I'm talking about the money makers. And I don't need to name names. We all know who they are, you know. But, you know, they're going to talk about the latest gossip. You know what I'm saying? What NBA player is doing to what female rapper?
Dating who?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't care about that, but that's going to be frontline news. And people are tuning into that.
That's the culture.
I'm sorry, I just remembered my guy's name. Chris Patrick, Jersey.
Chris Patrick, Jersey.
Yeah. That's it.
That's the team up.
We're glad to see
that I'm checking for. His name is Chris Patrick.
Wow. Okay.
He just got he got a hell of a co-sign from Black Thought and is it JID or just Jid?
I think it's JID.
Okay.
I've heard people call him Jid. I've heard from JID.
Dang, you getting a hookup from them kids? That ain't. Damn, I'm gonna look him up.
Yeah, we have to see about that. We believe you for sure. But
yeah, no doubt.
We need that in our ear.
No doubt.
So where we at now? Where we at? Should we say Drake is 39? No. No, we're not gonna say Drake is 39. Okay, fine.
Hey man,
we just talk about ageism in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So Killer's been here a couple of days, and you know we going back and forth. We do a show every day, but it's funny because I was mentioning how, like, you know, we've been doing this 20 years, y'all. We've been doing this for 20 years, and 20 years ago or 15 years ago, I was saying, yo, all these lean with it, rock with it kids gonna be out the whip, B. They're gonna be gone and they're gonna be mad, right? We got a hold of a clip of Smoking Loud, or what is it fucking concert called? Is it Smoking Loud? Something Loud.
Rolling Loud. Something, yeah, I don't know.
And I could not believe what my eyes and ears were experiencing. I mean, you have to call that something else. But on one of the captions says, oh, I guess we got our new batch of hip hop or whatever, our new generation of hip hop. Now, we were saying lean with it, rock with it and all that. My white tee and all that stuff was not hip hop, right? I'm just putting this out here for the whole world. I'm not arguing with nobody that's going to say this current stuff is hip hop that I saw on that video. You want to say that's hip hop? You go ahead. My ears are locked. Anybody else see the clip?
Well, I saw the clip. I don't know. I can't even tell you who the nigga was. I know he's jumping up and down the stage on like a pogo stick. Fucking look like 100,000 motherfuckers had the lighters up. I assume they was pogoing too.
And there was no lyrics.
And he was, yeah, because he was grunting or at best.
And the crowd was grunting with him. So I don't know.
Well, that's going to, see, that doesn't bother me because that's going to happen. But you said the key word. You're just going to label that shit as hip hop because it's a nigga on stage.
Damn.
Because you're not going to call it country.
There was an Asian girl bouncing around pogo sticking too.
But you're not going to call it punk.
No, you're not going to call it punk. I don't know what you call that.
You're not going to call it grunge. You're not going to call it rock and roll. You're not going to call it acid rock. Are you?
No. It has to be called something else.
African-American men standing on stage with a microphone in his hand. Unless
jumping
he sings.
Jumping around like a
pogo
stick.
Yeah, jumping around like a pogo stick. Unless he sings. And even if he sings, depending on his music, he's going to be called a rapper.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, 50 Cent sing.
he makes good soundtracks to movies. I mean, series.
Well, it's been a long time coming.
What did you say, Rush?
He raps in key.
There you go. The key of life.
He raps in key.
But I mentioned that number 39 because at some point, yo, you become an old head in the game, B. You become an old head. You turn into us. It happens.
That's a shame, man. I mean, I'm of a certain age. And and I'm still willing to battle up. You know what I'm saying? As they say in LA, I squabble up. I'm less
than
right. But that is probably one of the last remaining and oldest best traditions. It was a naturally thing that we had that no other genre had, is the self clean. Okay.
Yep.
When it was time for cats to move on, maybe a battle took them out or whatever. But then you replaced with excellence.
But you know what? You actually, Killer, you make a good point. And if you think about it in terms of you got an old bull that's been running the yard And there's always some young bull that's going to come out and take him down. So we kind of give that whole idea of ageism is life, because we're expecting the youth to come just take it. Like a lion, you know, when the lion loses his teeth, you know,
not the wet.
The younger lions, they get rid of them.
Yep.
Okay, but yeah, but the guy or the lion that's going to be running the pride, it has to be strong enough, okay, to run it. Okay, nobody's all this. Y'all niggas need to hand the shit over attitude, or you know what I'm saying? Because your reign
out the way.
Stupid short, you know what I mean? I'm just saying there's generations here of replaced groups for whatever reason, but they seem to be replaced with excellence. You know, who we didn't know when the Fat Boys and Houdini and Run DMC, you know, got eclipsed, that it was going to be the Boogie Down Productions, you know, or the Big Daddy Kanes, you know, or whatever the case. You kept getting replaced by excellence. And I don't care what coast or what whatever. If you got long on a tooth and you started to get eclipsed or whatever, you know, after NWA or after Ice-T, there was plenty of excellence from the coast. Okay? You think that's excellence, what we're doing now?
Oh, you're asking me, or is that rhetorical?
It's just rhetorical.
Thank God.
Oh, okay.
You ain't got the answer, Sway.
You got the answer. It's just going to be the same answer.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I think Souls of Mischief in their time was a great replacement for anybody who they replaced that, you know, was next up.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree. I mean, their contribution to the, there's that word again, to the culture is legit.
Yes.
Brass when the culture five, was the culture.
Same thing. If we're going to stick on the West Coast, you know, they were definitely, they gave hip hop a different face. Whereas right now, it's the same face, but it's got a ton of makeup on it.
even if they don't, it doesn't matter where they're from, it all sounds the same.
Wow, you're right. But that's been happening since what was that bill? The Telecommunications Act.
Yeah, that
put a hurting on it, because yeah, no these doubt. These conglomerates were like, you're gonna hear me in every city in America. And that's what happened. So you don't get the niche. I mean, you do, but then you got to go to the little smokehouse.
Yeah, we got consolidation of everything. I mean, like you said, you know, the radio stations are consolidating. TV stations are consolidating. What is it? What's his name? Ellison bought Paramount. Now he's about to buy Warner Brothers. So that means he's going to own. He has Paramount Plus, and he's going to have Warner Brothers. He's going to have HBO and Netflix soon. You know what I'm saying? So we're all just going to be getting the same thing. And I think the more that happens, people got to get louder on the seams. They got to get louder outside, you know, in the suburbs. We got to get louder and just kind of.
Well, know. But if you think about the foundings of hip hop, that's what it was. You were louder outside. You were louder on the seams. They couldn't hear you in the office.
That part.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you know. So we got, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
And I think ultimately that's the thing. It's not so much about hating your man, you know, across the border, Drake. It's not about hating him. It's about all he represents is in the suite, in the boardroom. That's what he totally represents. And that's strangling to the culture. Outside of the culture and all the excellence guys, it's like, you know, the people you person you just put up on. He's outside getting glowing endorsements. We need to check.
Yep.
We need to see. We need to hear. So that's what's up.
So let's get out of here. But I'm going to ask this last question.
All right.
Does the future of hip hop, and this is for each, the three of you, does hip hop's future look bleak, or is there some promise in hip hop's future?
You talking about Jay-Z's man?
No, he's just talking about
we got jokes. This was not a joke. Those words just happened to pop up, but do you seriously see any potential for new hip hop, or do you think it's really over?
I think
hip hop is going to continue because hip hop is what it is. But this commercial shit is on life support.
I agree. I think the brand of hip hop suffers in the short run. But as certain events happen, certain things happen, and those folks start to get replaced, no matter who they are, the only place to be standing is outside, because inside you have been washed. So in the short term, we'll suffer, but in the long term, we're going to be outside because that's where we always been.
And I think we probably as a culture probably need to kind of accept the fact that we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we allowed our culture to kind of be co-opted, and then it turned into this. Really, I mean, hip hop always had some form of rebellion, violence in it. I mean, but now it's almost like that's the feature.
Right.
I'm not popular until I've shot somebody I've gotten shot or until, you know, somebody in my crew got killed or until I got killed, you know, so we're there now. So we need to, you know, I don't know where to start cutting the branches off the tree, but we need
to do something. Trim the tree.
Thank you. I mean, we need to do something and to let the real uncorrupted fruit grow.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, I will wrap it up by saying that I have given up on hip hop's Comiskey Park situation because I don't know how much worse hip hop can get before a multitude of people just get fed up with it and just be done with these streaming sites or whatever, if this is what you're putting forth. I didn't tell anybody this, but you know how Spotify puts at the end of the year who you listen to most and all that right. kind of stuff?
Well, I don't have
Spotify. You might not know that, but at the end of the year, they give you a synopsis of...
Right.
Now, on my personal, this is me. Y'all know me. Y'all listening know me. You know who was like number two on my list?
Carly Simon.
No, sir. It was Lil Wayne.
Damn.
It was Lil Wayne.
How did that happen?
And I'm looking at this thing like, how the fuck is Lil Wayne on my screen? I didn't listen to no Lil Wayne. Did somebody grab my phone and just put that shit on repeat? I don't know because
you fell asleep.
I was just shocked. Huh? I was sneak listening? Even if I sneak listen, it shouldn't be number two on my list of fucking Spotify because you have no idea how wide a range of shit I listen to on Spotify. But
you didn't listen to a Lil Wayne?
He ain't on there.
Wobble me.
Anyway, so thank y'all. I appreciate you, Rush, for everything that you contributed today.
No doubt. Before we get out, Kerr G, I got to ask you a question. Do we have any digital freaks?
Oh.
Digital freaks? No, sir. I'm on my phone doing this, so no, I do not.
Okay.
I will post them.
All right. So shout out to Peter and Matt at the Digital Freaks. And again, I want to thank Senior Extra Large Rush for being on the show.
He ain't trying to say you big or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying?
I just need you to stop being scared and just go ahead and put that music out, sir. I need that.
See, I'm getting coached already. I love it. Let's get it.
Hey, Rush, tell him every time we talk, what I say, where the music at?
hey, really quick.
I told him I'm ready to support. I'm ready to support, my brother.
Oh, Kerr G, and this nigga talking about vinyl.
I heard him already.
I got you on the vinyl.
So that's a purchase. That's easy.
That's a purchase.
But before we get out, just to signify, I showed Kerr G the cover I made when you did that hot remix. Tell him, Kurt.
I want to see it. Where is it at?
It's a nice cover.
Yeah, well, I have to wait till I get back on the East Coast.
But yeah, you caught me. Yeah, you caught me. It was that time of the year, so that's I went that route. But
no, it's all good. I was just saying, yeah. I'll send you the cover. It's all good.
Oh yeah, please. I'll definitely use it.
All right, that's what's up.
Look at that.
All right, so that's been a wonderful hip hop digest. We flipped the script. We all over the country.
Yeah, because we got cut off.
Damn, again.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna do it the whole show. We done, but I'm gonna say it again one more time, probably.
All right, so no doubt.
You know, you want a slice.
Okay.
Thank you for rolling with us.
Yes.
Oh. Rush slid one in there too.
Yeah. Good. God bless.
Yes, sir.
One.